All right. So, Sterling Study Group was really born out of, visioning, at a time when, our center, our home center at the time was experiencing, a little bit of division and so on. And we chose not to do that. We chose to be in the oneness of it all. And so with Reverend Hillary holding our group with the respect and credibility that we kind of needed at the time, and to be in alignment with our home system, we went full out as a study group. And so the symbol coming out from the visioning was, like the Olympic symbol, circles of, the circles interlocking circles, sort of. And there was no other way we could have moved or decided but to accept that symbol. I think it may have come from Kate. I can't remember exactly, or Judy, but it was endorsed unanimously at the time. And so, that symbol has come through the years. We then sort of, for granted that, the Olympic interlocking circles represented connection in some ways, and maybe some of it is my idea of what it means: diversity, harmony, and a shared purpose in a sense, right? And this is where we are today. We are still here in that same idea of circles of love, right? Declaring us a community that chooses love over any type of division, over any type of chaos, over any type of confusion. We and each of us, in a sense, is in our own ways an individualized circle of the truth that we have as this enmeshed circles all around, right? And so from the perspective of the circles of love, I just want to introduce you to the idea of spirit incarnating in everyone, from the book How to Change Your Life. I think it's chapter 4, and it has been another eye-opener. Every time I read anything in any Ernest Holmes book, it's always an eye-opener. But spirit incarnates in everyone, seriously. Not some people, not the spiritual people only, but people everywhere, everyone. And at one point in my recent history, I wish it was never a certain person, but I had to release and let go and know that there is no distinction in people, right? So spirit is not selective. I had to breathe in deeply for that one. Spirit is not conditional. Spirit does not literally even check credentials, right? Spirit is, God is. And because spirit is, and we are everyone, we are each individuals, and and focused as everyone, then spirit is who we are, right? So Ernest Holmes teaches us that spirit is, spirit expresses itself by becoming the life of the individual, right? Holmes reminds us that we are not trying to reach spirit. We are not trying to even earn spirit, but we are not even trying to attract anything. We are simply learning to recognize that spirit is who we are. Seriously, it's the essence of who we are. It's the essence of our humanness. It's the essence of our beingness, right? So Ernest Holmes says life changes, not because spirit suddenly arrives, but because we finally stop resisting what has always been true, right? So spirit incarnates in everyone. There is nowhere that God is not. So I would say in everything. And there is no place that God is not. So God is everywhere, right? And that is the basis of our belief system as metaphysicians, with science of mind, right? God is everywhere in all things. And so life changes not because spirit suddenly shows up, but because we finally stop resisting what we think spirit is, right? So spirit incarnates, and so from that perspective, what does embodiment mean in a sense, right? And so from Ernest Holmes' book, is spirit taking form through many aspects, and some of those aspects were compassion, clarity, resilience. Some of those aspects were creativity, love, forgiveness, big one. Spirit embodies me, you, as presence, right? And how does that presence show up? It shows up as breath. We breathe in presence. We who are spirit, and spirit incarnate in us, we breathe in that idea of us, right? Not a perfect vision or anything like that, but it is just who we are. It is just spirit as us. So, I am starting to choose quotes from the big wigs among us. And so today it will be Dr. Carolyn and Connie, and I'm sure another day it will be Reverend Maria. But today, from Connie's book, Chatting with the Beloved, she said the beloved is always speaking through us, even when we don't recognize it. As she continued, she said, the beloved whispers through intuition, nudges us through clarity, moves through inspiration, and breathes through our willingness. And Connie has given talks on willingness so many times, and it touches me the same way every time, right? Being willing. So when we quiet the noise around us, we hear ourselves. And when we hear ourselves, then we hear the presence that we are, right? So spirit incarnates in everyone, and the beloved expresses through everyone. That's the presence we are. And from Dr. Carolyn Young, some of the insights over her journey, right, teaches, and from her website, of course, teaches that identity is the doorway to spiritual transformation. So when you know who you are, you stop negotiating, in a sense, with your worth. You stop shrinking your presence, shrinking your idea of who you truly are at your core. You stop apologizing for being Claire, you stop living from fear, right? And long and short of it actually is that you just stop abandoning yourself. So spirit incarnates as who we are, not our ego, but our actual spiritual identity. Who we were born into it, right? There is no other way we can identify ourselves but as spirit, but as God. And so it used to sound very annoying at one time as I moved through my process, but now it feels absolutely beautiful. It feels as though I embraced as a spirit. I show up as spirit, and I feel guided. I feel very resourced at times. I feel grounded sometimes. And particularly more as I get older, I am starting to feel truly grounded and truly whole. So when I know this for myself, I can absolutely say I know it for everyone else, right? Because by knowing this, I am seeing effectively that my walk is different, right? The way I interpret information now, it's completely different than how I would have come interpreted it in the past. What hasn't changed, and I am absolutely grateful about it. I talked about, how I really got into metaphysical or metaphysicians type of thinking, right? From Christianity to here. And now I know that it was an unfoldment for me, right? It was how I had to show up. And so, with me moving into that space of knowing that I am God, I really got that message a long, 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 long time ago and didn't truly embody it, right? But it never, ever, left my mind. The thought of it never left my mind that I am more than who I am showing up, and that I am God, in physical form in some ways. So it sounds very ridiculous coming from a Christian background in some ways, but I've learned to get over that. So this human struggle, I had to struggle with these incarnations in a sense. It just moved me to keep judging myself and comparing myself and doubting and fearing blasphemy and that kind of stuff, right? And if one stays in that space, then they will kind of forget who they are. They will forget and maybe collapse back into the messiness of life in some ways. Or they may, feel that nothing is happening on this journey of knowing that I am God incarnated. And so we get tired and overwhelmed or get distracted, So it is a struggle when we think that we are not, or when we think that spirit has abandoned us. But spirit does not leave. Spirit cannot leave, by the way. Spirit does not know how to not be spirit, right? Spirit simply waits for us to remember. Spirit is always there. Our memory goes and comes. And the more we stay focused, the more we recognize, and this recognition is literally coming back to the basis of, our five steps of treatment, right? The first one is recognizing. We cannot get anywhere else unless we stay in a space of recognizing that God is all there is. And if God is all there is, then there is not a place where God is not. And if there is not a place where God is not, then all things unbecoming, all things that appear, all things that are here, all things have to be in that Godness likeness kind of stuff. Okay, so this is Gail speaking, her a Caribbean thing. But from the perspective of just knowing that we have a false start if we come from the space of there is what I want and there is God. That is not a good space to start. We have to start from the space of what I want is what is there, and what is there is within reach. I just have to readjust the way I look at it. I just have to readjust my memory and move me back into remembering that there is only one, and that one is the only aspect of what has to be unfolded or what is unfolding in my life, right? So, how do I live as spirit incarnated? When I pause, I know spirit speaks in the pause. And so when I pause, I also listen, right? When I pause, okay. When I pause, sorry, my phone is distracting me. 1 second. Oh my goodness, sorry. This is crazy. Stop. My apologies. And I will turn my phone off. I just couldn't focus. All right, so I breathe, I release, knowing that it's all one, and knowing even the interruption is that aspect of God, right? And so, as a Sterling Study Group was born out of the vision of the oneness, the circles of love. And at a time when there was some divisions, right, going on elsewhere where we were gathered, right, we chose to go our own way, not out of rebellion, but out of coming together, out of spiritual alignment, out of what I would call spiritual coherence. Right. So the symbol we chose, right, those circles of love were symbols of wholeness. Each one of those circles is truly a circle. It's whole. There is no beginning, there is no end, right? And so those symbols are symbols of unity, of we are all equal, we are all included, right? And so, even paired with the idea of the Olympic idea of it, which would say diversity or harmony or shared purpose, I think that's us as well, right? So we are individuals and we are connected. We are distinct from each other and we are also united, right? And so from the many of us, and of course the world has billions of us, right? We are also one, right? Why? There is only one. There is only one God. There is only one emanation of eternal divine presence. And so it's from that space where, as we move into our second half, that I would invite all of us to, sort of make that declaration of what do you, as you, the circle of love that you are, what do you bring into the circle that is study group? Now, study group is just such a small defined area of our life and living, and it's like a pin dot in the aspect of the world, but in every aspect of where we are that circle. We are that circle of love. And we interact with other circles. And we would like to say circles of love, and you should. However, it doesn't always show up as circles of love, right? This is where you and your intention and your clarity and your willingness to be love, your willingness to heal, your willingness to bring peace and to bring a certain amount of loving spiritual maturity to our world, would show up, right? Yes, it does need courage, right? But most of us are here and we are so seasoned, we are so experienced that we know when we show up that things and situations and people either have to fall away, have to dissolve away, have to be in a space where love exists. And love can only exist as love. Everything else dissolves. Everything else has to fall away, right? So I am bigging up our circles of love today as Sterling Study Group, all right? And even the intentions that we have put into the group, which I didn't actually allow, but we can do that in the second aspect. I did, right? So even those intentions, those are really strengthening, and they are truly offering the depth that we are as a people, as a presence, as circles of love. Yet, all those circles of love are a circle, the circle that is love, the only love we know, which is spirit, God. And each of that is incarnated in me, as me, through me. And you say the same for you, right? And I know the same for you. It is an eternal truth. I am not separate from God. I can never be distant from God. I can never wait for God. There is nothing called waiting, right? Right here, right now, I am that expression of the life that God is. I am the embodiment in some ways of the idea of God, right? And more so, I am the incarnation and the declaration in some ways of the love that God is. And so are you, each and every one of you, including my adopted granddaughter, Lavanya. Sorry, Lavanya. It's really fun having a black grandma, by the way. And so that's, as I close, just remember that we are the love that is exuding in the world. We are each one of us, if you picture yourself out there, we are each the interlocking circle that helps to strengthen the idea of love in the world, that even when in the absence of what we call love, or even the idea of absence, right? We are that with intention. We are that with heart. We are that with the desire. We are the idea of God, spirit emanating now in this moment. Believe it or refuse it, you have no choice. You just are. There is no other conditions but God. And so it is.